Raise your hand if you feel that you are perfect. Well, I don't see any hands up. God looks at perfection probably different from us. Now, I got another question. Raise your hand if you like to see perfection. Maybe in something that's done, something that the way a person speaks and, or sings, or maybe if you're baking a cake, you want it to be perfect, and so forth. The other day, I was given a banana bread from, I'll just say it, Sister Gertrude. And I tasted that banana bread, and I thought, this is perfect. It has perfect taste. It has perfect texture. I felt you probably couldn't get it any better. To me, it was perfect. Well, did you think that God wants us to be perfect? I've heard a lot of people say things like, well, I've heard it said, well, I'm not perfect, you know, or something like that. God does want us to be perfect. But he looks at perfection probably different than we do. I was thinking about how that Samuel, God told Samuel to go down to Jesse's house and to anoint a king. So Jesse, the father, sent all his, what was it, seven sons? I think it was seven. And the first one, he was like the perfect statue of what you would expect a king to look like. And Samuel thought, surely this is the one. And the Lord said, I refused him. He said, I believe the Lord told him that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So our thought today is a perfect heart. God is looking down in our heart for perfection. Perfection, I believe, is kind of weighed according to knowledge and understanding. Maybe I might be perfect to my knowledge and to my understanding. Another person may have a different, don't have quite the knowledge, but they're perfect to what they understand and not. God looks on our perfection according to his word, according to our knowledge of his word, and our understanding of his word. So he refused that those all of Jesse's children, he started from the oldest, and Samuel wouldn't anoint any one of them king unless the Lord told him, and the Lord refused all of those seven. And then he asked him, he said, do you have another one? And he said he had one that was out taking care of the sheep. He came in, he was ruddy, and but he had a good countenance. And the Lord told him, you anoint him, he's the one. So God looks in the heart, doesn't he? And that's where it's going to tell with our perfection. Now I wonder why it's so important that our heart is perfect. Do you know that how we are starts in our heart? We might look perfect on the outside, a person might say, oh, that is a perfect saint. Because if you live right according to the scripture, you're a saint. Did you know that? One scripture said, called to be saints. So one person might look at them and say, they're just perfect. I don't see anything they say, anything they do, how they dress, how they carry themselves. Just perfect. Now, you know, y'all have heard me talk about my mom. And I can tell you, if there was anybody as close to perfect as I know about, she was it. And so, Kat, you probably felt like that about your mom. Anybody that was, I mean, no flaws that I could see. And if she thought something was, she was just so humble. You just didn't understand it. I remember one time somebody said something to her, and she felt bad. But she didn't say anything back. She went to that person and apologized for saying, for feeling bad. The other person said something to her that would kind of be offensive. I mean, I would be offensive. And instead, she went to apologize to them when you might think, well, wait a minute, that other person really should have been the one apologizing. So, perfect. But God looks on our hearts, and he's the one that knows perfection. God blesses us if we have a perfect heart. The blessings of the Lord will be upon us. We want to live and do according to the scripture, to all we know and understand, and in the sight of God, he would consider us perfect if there is no sin. Of course, sin will not make perfection. Let's go to 1 Kings 8 and 61. Actually, these people that left us with this example of what we feel like perfect left us a legacy, and it challenges us to live like that. I'm challenged when I think, have you ever heard of a person raising four children and never raising their voice? Adam, come home and they got the house kind of disarrayed and never raising their voice. I saw that, but I cannot say I could do that. I raised my voice. Not maybe as much as some people think I should, but
let your hearts therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day.
Look how he said, let your heart be perfect, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments. It's going to take obeying the word of God to have a perfect heart. If we do not do that, we will not be perfect before God. Psalms 101, 1 and 2. Let your heart be perfect.
Psalms 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will God come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart.
Notice he said, I will, what is that first part, in a perfect way?
I will walk within my house
in a perfect way. And then it says, with a perfect heart. So it goes together, doesn't it? A perfect heart affects the way I walk, doesn't it? That's why it needs to come from the heart. if the heart is not perfect, the actions are not going to be perfect. So what comes out of us comes from the heart. So if we are living a perfect life before God, it's because our heart is perfect before Him. Psalms 37 and 37. If, by you getting that, if we have walked before God with a perfect heart, it's going to affect our eternity. You know, we get caught up in this world, caught up with problems like Larry was talking about, problems among family members, maybe health problems, all kinds of things, maybe financial problems, jobs, and all this. We get caught up in this world. But we don't want to let all of the things that's happening in this world to affect our heart, to affect our walk with God. When we give our heart to God, we make ourselves able to walk perfect. Do you know the natural man can't do it and won't do it? It takes God in us to live and walk in a perfect way and to have a perfect heart. So we have to start at the foot of the cross. That's where we start. If we want to be perfect before God, we got to start by kneeling down before God, praying, and giving our heart and life to Him. When we do that, then the process begins. Perfection begins. And sometimes, like, no one put their hands up for being perfect. I didn't either. We can live perfect day by day. But as we get more knowledge and more understanding, then we can get more perfect, if you want to say. Just like in teaching, I would not expect a first grader to make the same score as a third grader on a test, would I? Because the third grader has more knowledge. My favorite grade to teach in elementary school was second grade. I didn't care for kindergarten first. I loved the children. Love them. But, you know, you had to give them everything in kindergarten first. They come to school with very little skills. But by the time they get to second grade, there are a lot of skills they already have. So you can build on those skills. So the children in the first grade, there may be a child that is perfect in that first grade. They have all A's. And you have children like that. They're so smart. I was thinking about your little sister. She is a smart little girl. They are so smart. But then there's room for growth because they don't know it. All of what other kids in the other grades would know. And so perfection in first grade would look different in second and third grade. And so the same with us. When you first give your heart to the Lord, you can be perfect for the knowledge and understanding that you have. But then as you grow in the Lord, as you get more knowledge in the Word, as you get more understanding of what God requires, then perfection is on a different level. Did you get that?
What, you said 37 and 7?
37 and 37.
Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
See? God expects perfection. And you can look at the example of a perfect person, for the end of that man is peace. Back to like what I was saying with my mother. The way she handled us gave me an example of how I should handle my children. I have to say it was not easy to do it exactly, but it did give me It was a standard, right? Cat, right? It's a standard. You, when you look at how she lived, you, it's a standard, and it gives you something to look. This is what to strive for. If we want to strive for perfection, the Bible says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. So the Lord is looking through the whole earth, looking to show himself strong to them that's heart is perfect. He deals with the perfect, the people with perfect heart. He requires it, and he's there for them. So go now to 19 and 9, same 2 Chronicles. So I don't think the Lord wants us to use "I'm not perfect" for an excuse. Sometimes people say, oops, well, I'm not perfect. Said something maybe they shouldn't say. God doesn't want that. Strive for perfection. Pray. Ask him. Perfect my thoughts. Perfect my heart. Perfect my words, perfect my attitudes, and the way I handle people. Do you get 19 and 9?
And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart.
Know what helps us to be perfect? The fear of God. If we fear God, we're not going to say and do just anything. It's going to help us. If we want to be perfect, fear God and keep his commandment, one scripture says. It's going to affect how we live and what we do and how we, the standard. Let's set the standard high. You know, it's in, when I was teaching in Florida, they would have the FCAT was a test that they would get every year. And it was to measure what the children had learned, how much they learned, how much, but it's a standard. They wanted this standard high, not a low standard, not having children coming out third grade, can't read, can't write, can't do the simple math, anything. That test keep keep you on point. You won't feel like, I'm just going to kind of wing it today with the kids. No, you knew from the beginning of school to that test. In fact, people tend to teach to the test. They teach the standards of the test, and they try to prepare those children for their test, for them to be perfect. We want to be perfect. They want a perfect score. They were going to, it was going to affect even teachers, the teachers themselves. If their children didn't do well, it was going to be have an effect on them. So we want to have a perfect heart, and we want to walk in a perfect way. If we have a perfect heart, we can get the Lord's attention. In the time of trouble, we're going to have trouble. Remember that brother said the other day? Were you there? Brother Tavis? He said trouble's coming. In other words, you plan for it. Because life just going to bring troubles. But we want to we need God in the time of trouble. So if we have a perfect heart, we'll be able to get God's attention. I want us to look at 2 Kings 20 and read 1 through 3.
So,
20.
Okay. In those days was Hezekiah, sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore.
Okay, stop. Here he was going to die. He was sick, and the prophet told him, set your house in order, you'll die, not live. But he wanted to live. And so he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And he cried. And he had his life to that he could put up before the Lord. Remember now, have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And now that I have done that which is good in thy sight. You see that perfect heart? How it affect what he did? So he had that to tell to the Lord. And he wept sore. I want you to read now on.
And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake.
That's good. Look, how many years he got? He was getting ready to die. Okay, suppose that was happening to me at this point. I'm 81 years old. How many years would 15 more years make? 96 years, almost 100 years old. Wouldn't that be something? If the Lord said, you're going to die and not live and give you that many more years? It's amazing, isn't it? But why? Because he had walked before the Lord with a perfect heart and done that which was good in his sight. God heard his prayer. God was touched. Don't you know that if you walk before God with a perfect heart, and do that which is right in the side, you'll get God's attention. When the trouble comes, we need him in the time of trouble. But we can get his attention if we will just walk before him and be perfect. Isaiah 38 and 6.
And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will deliver this city, and I will defend this city. 38 and 6.
It's probably the same one. Don't worry about it. Let's skip that. Now we're going to look at Abraham. God spoke to Abraham about perfection in Genesis 18 and 1.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day.
Keep reading.
And he lifted up his eyes,
And therefore are you come to your servant. And then so do as thou hast said.
Stop, Sarah. I think I gave you the wrong scripture. But in the scripture that I was trying to give you, the Lord came to Abraham and he told him to walk before him and people.
It's chapter 17.
Oh, okay.
And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly.
Okay.
Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him, saying,
yes, that's good. So he, just like he told Abraham, walk before you me and be perfect. That goes to all of us, not just Abraham. If you are living for God, he wants you to walk before him and be perfect. Let's go to 1 Kings 8 and 61.
Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments as at this day.
Do you see the correlation between doing his commandments and walking perfect before him? The commandments is the standard. Just like in school, like I was saying, they have a standard. They have standards. Every teacher is given certain standards that they are to teach those children. Well, God gives us this, the word of God. That's the standard. And we must do what he says in the word to be perfect before him. Let's go to Psalms 1 and 1. We read, I think, 1 through 3. Let's read verse 6.
My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me, that he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me.
He wants us to walk in a perfect way. You can't say, I have a perfect heart, and you're not walking in a perfect way. It doesn't work that way. Our heart affects how we walk. And so it all goes together. And if we look at the scriptures, it tells us how does God measure perfection? We know he's going to measure according to his word. He's going to measure according to how much we know and understand of his word. If we know something, the scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is a sin. If we know the scriptures and we know what to do and we refuse to do it, we cannot say we're perfect. Just like, you know, some children will argue you, you know, if you give them less than an A, they'll argue about it. But there's a standard, and it must, let's make all A's. Let's not go for B's and C's, you know. Sometimes children are just, they don't care. They don't care. If I got a C, I'm good. But we don't want that. We want high standards. I remember one time I was teaching, and I came to Texas. My oldest sister was a principal at the time. And her school, I went to visit her school. It was so amazing. This was a school in the, what we call the hood, right? But when you walked in that school, those children, they walked down the halls without a word. They were silent. They were quiet. This was not just a K-3 school. I think it went up to sixth grade or something. And not only that, the floors were white. It was amazing how they did. And they would have competitions, you know. Those kids were off the chart. They were so smart, and these were not middle class, high class kids. These are kids that probably all around, the kids are doing all kinds of stuff. But it was amazing. So anyway, I found out that they had a motto. Their motto was excellent behavior, excellent academics. So when I went back to school, guess what I did? I put up that motto in my classroom as a standard. Standard for perfection. Let's strive for perfection. When it comes to God, put your heart in it. Put everything in it. When you read the Word of God and you see you're supposed to do something, let's do it. That's perfection. You know, some children will just write. One thing I used to, you know, I can't even write on the board. And I was so particular about writing. I wanted neat writing, not sloppy writing. I wrote good, and I set the example, and I want the children. Learn to put everything you get. If you just do a simple task, baking a cake, put everything in it. Don't just hazard do it. Because when you learn those kind of ways of working, it can fall over into your spiritual life, just haphazard. So we don't want to do that. God is looking for perfection. Let's do all we can to be perfect. I want to say this. We can make a mistake and speak wrong to somebody. Let's don't just walk over it. Let's go back and apologize. Striving for perfection. If you make a mistake, if you were harsh to somebody, if you weren't as kind, go back to them. Say, I'm sorry. I should have been more kind. Striving for perfection. Let's go to Luke 8 and 15. I had a little girl in second grade. She was what you would call a perfectionist. You know how you get those spelling words on the beginning of the week, and the teacher have you doing what? ABC order. They had a different thing for you to do each. Well, I would have a day where they had to make spelling sentences out of. She was not satisfied with little simple sentences. She would try to make long sentences, she was very particular. And I think her mom said she stayed up late trying to make her work perfect. Same way with the Lord. Let's try to make our work perfect in His sight. You have it.
8 and 15. But that on the good ground are they which get an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
And I think it says some. What does it say? 60-fold. What does it say? The next verse.
No man when he hath life again.
No, that's not. But there's one that tells you how much, you know, 160, 130, and 100. Maybe I can only do 30%. But if 30% is my perfection, level of perfection, it's still perfect in the sight of the Lord. But somebody else might could do 60. That's perfect in His sight. And another person could do 100. So we want to do all we can to be perfect. Let's go to Joshua 24 and 14.
Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve the Lord.
Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. To fear the Lord will help us to strive for perfection. Now, let's look in the New Testament, 2 Timothy, and read chapter 3, and read 16 and 17.
16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
See? We see that the Word of God is the one that's going to how we can measure our perfection. And all Scripture is given. It's given to help us in all these different ways. And we want to do our best to obey it and strive for perfection. Pray for me.